When a thought of anger, jealousy, fear, worry creeps in, declare the right things at that particular moment, right? Don't allow that thought there to mature. Don't let it gain control of your tongue. Say the right things. The way to fight darkness is to bring light in. You don't drive darkness away by itself. You simply put the light on. The way you take cold out is not by trying to get the cold air out. Is simply by switching on the heater, and heat drives out cold, right? Evil will be overcome with good. Therefore, we must understand there's no help in just denial. You have to affirm the right things in order to drive away the negative, which means you don't move ahead by denying what is before you, but you move ahead by affirming what God has shown you, all right, that will now replace, which means you affirm that which is eternal, you declare that which is eternal in order to change, right, that which is temporal. So the first thing we've got to understand is this, right? We've got to make sure, for example, I'm believing God for something now, right? And what I do is that I make sure every time I consciously, right, get up, every time I consciously get up, I have some study of a child that was born crippled. And the mother went to meet the doctor and said, what is the chance that my child will ever walk again? The doctor said, let me tell you the truth. Chances are zero because my son had the same ailment and I'm a doctor and my son died. He said, so there's no hope in medicine for your child. Then she looked at him and said, what will you do if you were in my shoes? And then the doctor said, I will fight with everything I have in my body to keep your son alive. I will fight. And the son heard that, all right? And as he grew up, he got to a point when he was 13 years old. He said he now understood that in order to change himself, he had to begin to declare, all right, his wholeness in God. He said, the first thing that happened in the morning when I woke up was that I said these words. He said, the last thing that happened when I slept was that I said these words. Anytime I thought about my limitation because of my condition, I will declare these words out of my lips. Anytime somebody suggested anything, I will declare these words out of my lips. Anytime I saw any person in that condition, I will declare those words for them. He said it didn't take long that I woke up one day and I was upright, standing straight on my feet there because he continuously said it. So the Bible says we cannot, all right? It says speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. Not speak the word and speak something else. Speak the word only. We have to have just one confession. We have to have, all right, and the confession, right, is to make sure that we're constantly, right? It might take, they tell us, about 21 days, all right, depending on the person, all right, of constant practice, all right, of subduing the negative and saying the right thing there for it to completely go silent and for it to enter into your system right there. So you continuously do it. You are reaching for something. There is an intent in your heart. All right, this is what you are passionate about. This is what you want to realize. So you start, all right, on your journey there and make sure there is no thought there. And I'll share something about it because there's what you do in your closet when you are meditating on the Word of God. And that should happen probably 15 minutes, 20 minutes every day. But then there's what you do continuously there. And we need to understand that men and women who have made great strides in life make it their business to hold the thoughts of the condition which they desire and they have prayed about, which means the thoughts of that particular thing. The woman with the issue of blood constantly held the thoughts of her, if I will touch the hem of his garment. The Bible says she kept saying to herself, she was holding on to that thing until she made contact with him. They constantly hold in their mind the next step and the next thing that is going to happen in their life. The key is that this thing has to become habitual, right? It is not when you think once in a while when you are in church. It's not what you think once in a while when you are in church, all right? And there's the influence of the Word of God, and then you think about certain things, and then you leave church and you forget about those things. Or when you just read a good book, all right? Or you attend a conference. But it must now become your predominant mindset. It must be what is constantly there. And God will keep supplying you with thoughts from his word so that your utterance increases as you are speaking, all right, these things into the earth. So the first step here is the words that you speak. That's the first thing. So God gives me something that is beyond me, right? I've got to understand that. I have to take what condition he has described in that promise to me, and that has to become my predominant mental attitude from that moment forward. That has to be what preoccupies my mind, all right? I won't allow anything to distract me. You know, some people get distracted. Maybe it is the sound from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. All they are thinking about and grumbling about is the disturbance of a neighbor. You've been distracted from your vision. Are you following what I'm saying here? All right, stay on focus to it. Keep it, all right, right before you. Go and ask anybody who has broken through. Ask the scientists. How did you find out how to get to the moon? He will tell you. We found out by making it our sole purpose. All right, that's all we thought about. That was our sole purpose there. All right, we didn't entertain. We weren't thinking about any other thing apart from that, right? And so God wants us to do that. Get his own thoughts there and put his thoughts, right, on the inside of us and keep those thoughts there in our confessions going on continuously. And we said if we do this and we keep, all right, and we are faithful to our vision and we meditate upon it and consciously speak this thing out, what is going to happen after some time is that the circumstances, right, are going to begin to shape up. And I'm going to close with this. We are going to see the opportunity for the fulfillment of it. Somebody is going to walk into your life that is going to make a suggestion to you. You are going to find information somewhere. Somebody will say something. This is how it works, all right? When God wants to change your life completely there, okay, he will alter the balance of relationships in your life. Now, I've always thought about this, but then I heard again Bishop Kid Butler's testimony, and I listened. I said, this is the pattern. That's when I came. This thing is a law. Because he said when he was going to buy, you know, the church before they got here, he said an estate agent came to him, and the estate agent kept telling him that, look, there's this property. He said, look, this thing, all right, is far away. And I'll talk about it. It won't seem right to you. All right, it's far away and all of that. But the estate agent kept pressing. So the thought, once you start, you keep that thought, all right, before you, okay? It becomes an image on the inside. Because of time, we can't go into this. It becomes an image, all right, on the inside of you. It moves from you just saying it. The picture now starts forming. And we said when you start declaring things, all right, it starts forming an image on the inside of you. Right? If you speak words and you understand the words must form a picture. That's how you know you understand the words. If I say red car, you don't say R-E-D-C-A-R, you see an image. All right? If I say the carpet is green, you don't see C-A-R-P-E-T-G-R-E-E-N. What you see is the picture of a carpet that is green. And it's probably a carpet you've seen somewhere before and just goes there green. All right. So words paint pictures. The only time it doesn't paint a picture is if you don't understand what is being said. So if I say that I have a red terracotta Naka, nobody understands that because it means nothing. Right. So no picture can be formed. All right. So what happens is when you start speaking the word of God, right, the image, right, of what is going to happen starts getting built on the inside. And let me tell you something. Don't be afraid to look into that mirror. Don't look at your resources. Don't look at any report on the outside and you're afraid to behold who God has made you in Christ Jesus. You're afraid to look at that promise and see it fulfilled in your life. Because when you look at it, you know, you bring a consideration from the world and say that, look, you know, I don't have enough to get it, and bring that in. All right? And many years I'd heard Lester Sommer. He said, if you want to build a church building, you know what you do? Just build it. All right? Which means that nobody has the resources, they just start building. Okay? And so, you know, you begin to bring all those things in. Now, we read 1 John chapter 1. Before I close, what I want to say. 1 John chapter 1, and I'll read it here. Put it on 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. And it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, which our hands have handled. Now, I'll read it, all right, from the original Greek manuscript. And when we talk about Greek, okay, there's normal Greek, and then there's New Testament Greek. Because the Greek that the apostles used to preach is what you call pidgin. It's like using pidgin English. It was pidgin Greek. All right? They coined those things because some of them were Jewish. So they coined those words and preached with those words. All right? And somebody who is a professor of New Testament Greek, and two professors I know, one is William Barclay. He has a Bible or New Testament, William Barclay. All right? And then there's another fellow, West. All right? He's even a professor emeritus in New Testament Greek. Now, the reason is that many people are quoting Greek words today, and some of the Greek words they are quoting are wrong Greek words. All right? And people are being intimidated by Greek words. So, you know, people just throw the Greek word. The Greek word said this. I heard somebody say, the Greek word said this. And I said, this is not the Greek word. All right? Those Greek words they are quoting, some of them are not right. Are you following what I'm saying here? All right? Well, I used to do Greek before. And we'll quote Greek when I was in school. I came from a background where we were quoting Greek around the whole place. All right? And one day, after 2 years of going to Benin, I stopped quoting Greek. And the reason I stopped quoting Greek, I saw Archbishop Idasa was not quoting any Greek, but power was in operation. Are you following what I'm saying? No Greek word, power. Do you understand what I'm saying? So some of these Greek quotations, look, let me tell you, people don't study like that. It was a Greek and got it. Some of it, those Greek words, there are 17 interpretations to that word. They have taken the most convenient interpretation and used it to fit into what the narrative they want to create. If you check the root of those Greek words, somebody quoted a Greek word and said, we are complete. And what that thing actually said is, we are fulfilled. In other words, if a person says, all right, I now, husband and wife are reconciled, and they say that we are now fulfilled. All right, the word can sound complete in Greek. All right, they are not saying that anything changed to them for them. They are just saying that that experience fulfilled them. Now, you can take that and go and say that we are complete in Christ and say what you are not supposed to say, all right, in it. So when you hear Greek word next time, tell people, hold it on Greek. Let us first of all go and check what the Greek word is before, all right, you continue the conversation. Lest you be intimidated and you too want to sound like an intelligent person and you say, all right, the Greek word too says, and the Greek word too says this, and what you are saying is not what the Bible is saying. Now, all right, if we read it, all right, literally in Greek, this is how it will come out. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, all right, and then it says, with the present result that is ringing in our ears, that which we have discerned. So instead of saying that which we have heard, he's saying that which we have heard, and the present result is that it's ringing in our ears, that which we have discerned with our eyes, and the present result is that it's before our mind's eye. In other words, they heard things, but they kept it ringing in their ears. They saw things in the Word of God, they kept it before their mind's eye. He says, that which we have gazed upon as a spectacle, which means there were times they gazed upon things as a spectacle. They looked at what God was doing there while they were meditating. And it says, visually striking performance there. And then with our hands we handled, with a view to investigation, that is which concerning the word of life. And this aforementioned life is what was made visible, and we have seen it with discernment, and we have it in our mind's eye, and we bring back to you the message concerning that life. That which we have seen with discernment and at present is in our mind's eye. And that which we have heard and at present is ringing in our ears. We are reporting to you in order that as for you also, you may be participating jointly with us, in common with us, in our first-hand knowledge of the life of God. And the fellowship indeed which is ours is with the Father and his Son Jesus. In other words, this is what John was saying. He was telling them, we want to teach you something so that you can come with us and have fellowship with the Father and with the Son, the way we have fellowship with the Father and the Son, the way we are getting results, all right, when we work fellowship with God. He said, this is what I want you to understand. What we have heard, we keep it ringing in our ears. What we have seen, we constantly keep it before our eyes. So when we go to pray, all right, we are praying with the image of what he has promised us fulfilled right before our eyes. When we go to praise God and we sing about God's ability and power, we're not just singing to an image of an old man that is there and we can't really see him and he's white and, you know, the beard is white and the lights are coming out of him. He says we are looking at the promise that he gave to us that we have broken forth on the left and on the right hand, and as we are rejoicing in him, we see his hand, all right, expand us within our lives, which means that this is true communion. This is worshiping God in spirit and in truth. This is what the woman with the issue of blood did, which meant that when she was going to Jesus, she understood this secret. What you have heard must be ringing in your ears as you make contact with him. What you have seen in the world must be before your eyes. So as she got to Jesus and touched Jesus, they said, Jesus said, somebody has touched me. The apostle said, how can somebody touch you? The disciples, they said, can't you see all the sick people touching you? Or I can't you see all of them? And Jesus said, somebody has touched me. In other words, what he was saying was that somebody touched me with intent. Somebody came with the image of being whole. Somebody came with the consciousness that I'm the healer, was saying it. All right? They didn't come there, you know, hoping or begging me, all right, to do it. Jesus didn't even know. They came with the image of them being whole. She came with the image of herself, and she touched him there. So he was saying, as you go into prayer, this is the way we pray. He said, we are full of faith there. It's ringing in our ears. When we want to go and pray, we announce to God the word that we have found. The same way they did in Acts chapter 4. We declare his word. It's ringing in our ears. It's ringing in our ears. All right? It's ringing. We cause the word to ring in our ears. We have the image before us. Then we enter into the place of prayer. Right? And that's the same thing that Jacob did to the animals. He said, at the point of conception, put the image right before them. At the point of prayer, where you're going to give birth to the thing, in the realm of the spirit, put the thing, all right, right before them, and you do that. Now, when you begin to do things like that, and you're fellowshipping with God that way, all right, now what happens is, the first manifestation of that seed, which is the word of God, when the Bible says the seed is planted and first comes out the air, and then after that, things now begin to come out before the full harvest. I believe that first thing there that comes out will be relationships. Somebody comes in. I think Mike Murdock said, all right, if God wants to change the seasons of your life, he sends somebody in. If Satan wants to flip the season, he sends somebody in. Somebody comes in. I heard a wise man say this. I've wrestled with this. I discovered 2 weeks ago. Wrestled with it. Even though, you know, we say, as a man thinketh, so he is. And somebody said, I have constantly thought right. I do not know how things went wrong. And they asked somebody, I read it somewhere. The man said, if you are constantly, consciously thinking right, and things begin to go wrong, he said, something is wrong in the relationships of your life. There is somebody in your space that is flipping the thing. Which means, when Jonah came into the boat, regardless of what they were doing, trouble started. All right? And that's why relationships, you must be selective. The Bible says evil communication corrupts good manners. The good manners you got by declaring the word of God will evil communication will do what? Corrupt it. I went to preach somewhere yesterday. They asked me, all right, I preach on work ethic, all right, being highly skilled and other things for prosperity. And somebody said, well, if I'm really lazy, how do I become hardworking? All right? I said, just look for someone that is hardworking and follow the person. All right? When the person wakes up, wake up with the person. When the person goes out to work, follow the person. All right? They will tell you after some time, it is by interaction. Right? The thing will seep into your being there. Right? The Bible says, he that walketh with the wise shall be wise. So what happens is, relationships come. In that relationship, somebody is going to tell you. If you have been living growth for business, somebody is going to come into your life and tell you that, why don't you change what you are doing? And or he just says, why don't you do this? And when he makes the suggestion or she makes the suggestion, you will find it repulsive at first because that is not the way, all right, you do things. This is how, and that's why people that say that we are smart and know it all always miss God. All right? God said in Isaiah when he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. One translation says, this plan that I have for you is not what will readily occur to you. In other words, the way it will happen will not readily occur to you. Somebody comes in and just says to you, why don't you change this? Right? If you have walked with God, you hear something. Somebody came to see me in an office. I said, let me tell you something. I said, there is no leader. If you say something to them, they will never forget. I said, but six people can be saying this, can be saying different things. So how do you choose which one? So you can't be angry. I said, but this is what happens. When you say something and they don't take it, they step back and watch you. You might not know. And once you align yourself with them, even though they didn't take your suggestion, then they look at your suggestion again in private. and start thinking about it, because they say this is a person of character. But if you react, then they pull away from that. But if you align yourself, give it time if you are right. They will call you one day and tell you that, you know that thing you said? We are going to do that particular thing. I said, that's the way it works. But a good leader has an open mind, which means somebody says something to you, they say, well, this doesn't sound right. But if somebody said it, I've come to a point in my life where I know that nothing happens by chance. Anything that comes to my space comes in for a reason. Somebody says something to me, right? There's a reason behind it, right? So I want to check it out. So I go to God in prayer to find whether there's a witness of the Spirit on it. Because there's a way that seemeth right to a man. Which means the way that will take you to your destiny seemeth wrong to you. So somebody says it, you take it, you pray about it, the Holy Spirit eventually says, that's it. Go and do that thing. Then you found out what you should do in order to get the breakthrough. Second thing that happens is adversity breaks out. And when difficult situations come, all right, it is the manifestation rearranged differently. Are you following what I'm saying here? What you're calling adversity is the manifestation rearranged. So all he's telling you is rearrange this thing, right? It's almost like it comes in a coded form, and it comes in the form of adversity. You make use of the adversity, you learn lessons you will not. You come to understand things in your life, all right? You will not. I've read Psalm 23. I went through something recently, God showed me something, and I understood for the first time what he meant. That I will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. I understood it. And I found an irrevocable law of God on the earth. That's an irrevocable, I discovered something that is massive. But it comes in adversity, it says, it is good that I went through chastisement, that you might teach me out of the law. So people that go into life feeling, you know, I know everything, and you know, through it, you'll find out that when you get into the real practice of life, because they are not meek, they are not flexible, they don't listen, right? They don't listen. You want to know a good leader? A good leader is a good listener. A good leader picks up everything in the environment. A good leader, all right, understands that, listen, if it doesn't sit right with me, I will not do it. However, the fact that something initially doesn't sit right with me doesn't mean it is wrong. If I pray through on this thing and it still sits wrongly, then I will shelve it. But I will open my mind to God concerning, all right, this particular thing to know what his direction really is on the matter. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. And by the power of your Spirit, I ask that you establish us in this truth. And in all righteousness, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening.